Hello, everyone. Welcome to Teen Connect on WDIY 88.1. I'm your host, Yashvi Javia, and handling our audio editing is James Ziprut. Here on Teen Connect, our primary goal is to engage in conversations with young people in our community to share their perspective and gain insights on how to impact the lives around us. Jane Goodall once said, quote, "Young people, when informed and empowered, when they realize that what they do truly makes a difference, can indeed change the world," end quote. This quote perfectly encapsulates the potential of youth we feature here on Teen Connect. Today, we have the privilege to speak with our very special guest, Anjali Verma, a good friend of mine. We actually met through debate, PA Association of Student Council, and the Hugh O'Brien Youth Leadership Program. In my view, and countless others, she is a definition of Jane Goodall's quote. Welcome, Anjali. How are you doing tonight?
Thank you so much for having me on WDIY. I'm doing great.
It's our pleasure. So Anjali, tell us about yourself.
As for introductions, hello, my name is Anjali Verma, and I'm the newly elected president of the National Association of Student Councils for the 2024-25 school year. I live in Bedminster, Pennsylvania, and I'm a senior at the Palks University Scholars Program. As a proclaimed leadership nerd, I've experienced serving on the executive board of the Pennsylvania Association of Student Councils as the 2023 state president and have been involved with leadership the past 6 years. I've had the opportunity to connect with educators, students, and administrators on the local, state, and national level. I'm incredibly passionate about youth wellness advocacy and improving mental health resources and supports accessible for teens.
So could you please describe a pivotal memory or a journey that motivated you to become a mental health advocate?
Of course. So I am involved with athletics at my school. I play varsity lacrosse and swimming. And I've noticed in the mental health space for student athletes specifically, there is such a stigma around asking for support because physical injuries are taken as much more seriously than mental health concerns. So as a lacrosse player specifically, I've seen a lot of struggles with my teammates and even with myself, and it caused me to get involved about 3 years ago with an organization called Morgan's Message. I had the privilege of meeting Morgan's mom. So Morgan Rogers was a Duke lacrosse player who tragically died by suicide in 2019 after facing silent mental health concerns and struggles. So ever since then, I've been really passionate about making sure athletes feel supported, but just teens in general. So being at that tournament, meeting her mom, and then that caused a domino effect, and I was able to start a mental health club at my high school that gained 50 members in under 2 weeks, and it really started a chain reaction within our community to show that asking for support is something very strong that people can do, and it's not a sign of weakness.
Could you please describe the mental health club you started at school? What made it so impactful in your community?
Yeah, of course. It is called Messages of Wellness, and it partners with Morgan's Message, as I mentioned earlier, but also Work to Be Well, a teen-led national nonprofit. I currently serve on their National Student Advisory Council as a team lead. And it has just been a wonderful experience because teens that you wouldn't expect to join these clubs come together and we really foster change. We have student athlete mental health dedication games. We are a part of our suicide prevention walk for our county. We do tons of workshops and different events just to bring up these conversations and normalizing them. They've just been instrumental in making sure that students feel supported.
Can you share a success story from your work with Work to Be Well?
Of course. So last year, our council came up with the idea to create a state-by-state mental health resource guide. And we actually spent an entire year sourcing these resources. And we found that after getting them all clinically vetted and backed, and they were all free, we ended up publishing the nation's largest free and clinically backed mental health resource guide. And it was just a wonderful experience to see that there's so much support for students and teens at the local level. It's just about educating them of where to find it. So that was a big success story from our team.
Speaking of education, could you discuss the importance of mental health awareness in schools?
Of course. So it is absolutely pivotal to make sure that students feel supported and feel like they are empowered on their own mental health journeys while supporting their peers who might be struggling. So making sure that students feel like school is a safe place for them to ask for help, to learn more about themselves and the world around them, it is just so crucial to make sure that these supports are accessible for students and that they know where to get them. So it really is a life-changing and life-saving initiative to make sure that students are in a place at school where their mental health is valued and uplifted.
So besides from being a leader within your school, could you please explain how you've been a leader in the regional area with PASC and National Association of Student Council?
Of course. So I'm currently a senior, but as a freshman, I was elected as president-elect for the Pennsylvania Association of Student Councils, and that experience completely changed my life. It was a 2-year term. It just ended February of my junior year, and it has truly influenced me because I got to connect with like-minded peers like yourself, and it made me see the world from such a broader lens because, yes, we can make so much impact in our school, but also our community at the broader scale has the ability for teens to influence it. So I really noticed that I became a lot more open to seeing the world beyond just my school. And so the ability to collaborate with peers from all across the state and now the country has been just one of the most valuable experiences for me.
And what role does teamwork play in your leadership approach?
It's absolutely pivotal to make sure that students are representing students. And so teamwork, collaboration is so, so valuable because one person can make impact. But when you have a ton of people coming together for the same goal, these local ripples really become global waves of impact. And it's just a wonderful thing to watch and be a part of to make sure that students not only are inspired by other students' leadership, but also feel activated to do that themselves and become a community advocate.
So when you were involved with PASC, what did you and your team work on to show leadership in our community?
Yeah, there's a couple that come to the top of my mind. One was we wanted to involve students beyond just the student council format, because I think there's definitely a misconception that student council is just planning dances or doing little school-wide spirit days or things like that, which are definitely a part of it and I think are really important to building school culture. But also the community, we're able to be community change agents. And so I really found that there's so much that we could do. So we were able to propose a constitutional amendment to potentially rebrand our organization to include Honor Society students at a deeper level and other inter-club council members that weren't necessarily in the typical student council, because I believe that students everywhere should be able to have the resources to participate in quality leadership development programming. And so that was one thing. Although our amendment got the majority votes, we didn't hit the 2/3 majority, but we really saw that as a beauty and failure in that aspect, because now we're working to create a new sister organization with the Pennsylvania Association of Honor Societies and things of that sort, as well as creating a student feedback special interest program and working on my state project, which was a mental health initiative.
Great. So if a student out there listening would want to be involved in PASC, how would they do so?
You can start by going to our website, pasc.net, or talking to your student government advisors, seeing if your school is a member. There has been a lot of people that I know who have truly had life-changing experiences through this organization. And what is really cool is you get to be in a room and go to these events where everyone has a common vision of making the world just a little bit better every single day. And so I definitely reach out to your administrators, reach out to your advisors, and see if this is something that your school would like to be a part of or engage with at a deeper level. And then beyond the state level, if you're interested in taking your school's leadership nationally, look into the NASC, National Association of Student Councils, see if your school has a membership. What's really cool is it is the sister organization of the National Association of Secondary School Principals, which is NASSP for short, and they own all of the National Honor Societies, so NJHS, NHS, the National Elementary Honor Society. So NHS is one part of it, but the National Student Council is another part. So if your school is involved with NHS, there's a good chance that you might be involved with NASC and not even know.
Awesome. What do you think is the biggest misconception about youth leadership today?
I think it's that teens don't have as much of an impact or influence as they really do. Because we are not only just the future. I know that we're told, oh, you guys are the future, but we're also the right now, and we are absolutely so important to opening these conversations that other generations have looked over. So I think a big misconception is that we don't have as much impact, or we're not capable of making an impact as adults can. But I think that misconception can be proven wrong in so many different aspects, because there's so many inspiring youth leaders everywhere who really give it their all to make impact and make positive change.
Awesome. So what is one piece of advice you have for young leaders around the world?
I think it's to use your voice. And when I say that, be very intentional with using your voice, as well as uplift other leaders and uplift people that you might not think are typically in the conventional leadership atmosphere. It's been absolutely amazing to see students just completely blossom through these opportunities. So I think one of my biggest pieces of advice are putting yourself out there and staying true to who you are while uplifting people along the way and making sure that you have these meaningful connections, because not only are they amazing friendships, but they're also people that you can connect with at a deeper level and really strive to create change and create impact.
And how has your perspective on leadership changed over the years through your roles?
Yeah, I think that in the past, I really was a lot more quiet and to myself with things, and I didn't think that us students could really be the change agents in our community, as I mentioned earlier. But I think once I got involved with these organizations, I saw these student-led organizations who rely on adult support very minimally. And so I think seeing that really changed my outlook and made me see that, like, there's so much hope for our generation and our future because of these students, and it only gets bigger from here. And so making sure that everyone has these accessible and available opportunities is just pivotal in making sure that a culture of uplifting and being positive and creating these kinds of ripples is prioritized.
So who do you find as a leader or role model in your life?
There are so many. One of my biggest role models is my Work to Be Well advisor, Sarah. She was formerly a state president herself as a high schooler, and then was a math educator and became the executive director of the Oregon Association of Student Councils, and then co-founded Work to Be Well in about 6 years ago. And what has been absolutely amazing to see is she's somebody that embodies what it is to be a leader. And she saw this idea that six teens had, and she, like, really helped them make it a reality. And so I really look up to her for that piece of it, because I've noticed that when adults truly believe in students, so much is able to happen. And so they actually ended up passing legislation in Oregon to be the first state to allow mental health days to count as sick days. And that all started through the efforts with Work to Be Well, this brand new organization that she put faith into students to create. And then they basically changed students' lives in the state of Oregon and so much more since then. So she's somebody that definitely inspires my leadership.
Well, thank you so much for engaging in such conversations so far. You're listening to Teen Connect here on WDIY with our guest, Anjali Verma. We're going to take a short break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
WDIY News engages the Lehigh Valley with accurate, unbiased reporting from many sources and volunteer real voices. Listen to WDIY News during Morning Edition, Fresh Air, All Things Considered, and Weekend Edition, every day here on 88.1 FM, streaming on WDIY.org and the WDIY phone app. WDIY. Many choices, real voices.
Welcome back to Teen Connect. Tonight, we're talking about youth leadership with our guest, Anjali Verma, National Student Council President. So Anjali, as your recently elected role as the National Student Council President, what do you hope to gain from this role and what impact do you hope to make?
Of course. So what is really cool is that the National Association of Student Council has a very rich history, being founded in 1931. But what has been a really amazing experience is that this is the inaugural National Student Council, and it's the first time students have been elected in this way. So it is a very interesting position and an honor to be in, to see how students can kind of shape how this runs in the future. But our biggest goal is to amplify stories and find the power of vulnerability within students from across the nation and even internationally. And I'm extremely lucky to be able to have opportunities to work with press and go on different advocacy trips. In March, we're going to be heading to DC to speak with Department of Education leaders and different legislators and really amplify student voice truly within policy to make sure that students' voices are genuinely heard, as well as we are planning and executing the National Student Council Conference in January of 2025. And that will be in Chicago, and it'll be another great opportunity for students to come together. But we have a ton of initiatives. It's going to be very cool to see, because coming in September, there will be 25 new state reps added to the National Council. So truly, there will be representation from every corner of the U.S. So just making sure that we honor the students who elected us and make sure that their voices are our number one priority as we pursue this endeavor.
So you certainly did a lot of campaigning when running for National Student Council President. What are your tips for successful campaigning and or bringing attention to why people should vote for you?
Yes. So for those who don't know, the National Student Council campaign format, it was about 3 weeks of very hardcore campaigning through social media and different outlets. So I was involved with Instagram Lives. I had my own Instagram. We made platforms. We made campaign videos. We wrote statements. And what I really enjoyed about it was only positive campaigning. And you could really see how even candidates who were running against each other, they became very close friends. Like, even the people that I ran against, I still talk to today. And I really respect and honor them as leaders. And so it was a really cool opportunity. And I'd never ran for something quite like that. Each school in the nation that has an NASC membership received one vote, so it really was trying to reach as many people as possible. And so I just knew that I needed to stay authentic to myself and not worry about who my competitors were, because at the end of the day, the only thing that mattered was what I was standing for, and it wasn't about all the other candidates were extremely qualified, but I wanted to make sure that people who had no idea who I was were able to see my heart and see my personhood as a candidate. So I totally recommend that you just keep consistently putting out content, making sure that people know who you are for you, and reaching out to students. There were so many phone calls and conversations I had with students who just needed support in their councils, and it was a very cool opportunity to just go on a call with them or a Zoom meeting and talk about different initiatives they could start. One that came to mind specifically was I had a student from Puerto Rico reach out that they were interested in creating a state organization. So they wanted to create the Puerto Rico Association of Student Councils. And so I was able to give them my own insight with PASC and NASC and really shape how they're going to execute this or potentially execute this. So my biggest advice is, it might sound cliche, but be yourself and be genuine and truly have your campaign reflect who you are.
That's a perfect answer. So how do you handle the pressures and responsibilities that come with being a student leader?
Yeah, I think we'd be naive to say that everything is perfect all the time, or we have like these picture perfect lives, because truly everyone is going through battles that they don't talk about. And so I think one of the biggest things is that a reminder that you can't pour from an empty cup, and to make sure that you are prioritizing yourself, your self-care, because as a leader, it does get draining, and we want to be able to help people all the time and have the answers all the time and really spread ourselves very thin, but making sure that we have that balance so that we are okay as a person first before we're putting all of our energy into elsewhere. So I think making sure that you really are prioritizing your mental health, because it is so hard as like an advocate for mental health to take a breather and be like, oh wait, I need to practice what I'm preaching. And so making sure that everything comes to play and having that balance in your life while you're prioritizing your friends, your family, your school, because that's important too. So just kind of doing what you love and following that. Genuinely for me, like all of the different leadership organizations I'm involved with, they're not really work for me. They're what I genuinely love, and it really what excites me getting out of bed every morning. But I also have to remember that there needs to be a balance, and that I need to take time to reflect and have moments of rest and to slow down.
And what skills do you think are essential for effective leadership?
I think first and foremost, compassion and empathy is absolutely necessary, because when you have relationships, you need to make sure that you are somebody who is understanding of different perspectives and have that hope and ability for your own perspectives to evolve. And so seeing it from that aspect, it really allows compassionate leadership, which I think is necessary. One of the leadership books that we read a lot called The Leadership Challenge, one of their pillars is encouraging the heart. And I think that's so needed to celebrate students for even the smallest of wins, because small wins become big wins. So you really need to start from the ground. But yeah, definitely having your heart reflect who you are as a leader.
So feedback is a really important part of leadership. So how do you seek to incorporate feedback to improve your leadership and influence the lives around us?
Yeah, I think feedback is crucial. So really valuing what other students, educators, and administrators have to say. An example I can think of is I was on a panel in DC in May, and it was with the Education Week's like National Leadership Symposium. And what was cool about it is we only had two students there presenting, and it was a room of about 1,000 adults in the educational sphere. And it was cool to see the feedback that they had as admin and as educators, because it's stuff that I didn't really think about because it's not on the forefront of my mind. And so I think really valuing diverse perspectives through your work is so necessary, and seeing the feedback as a way to grow continuously really inspires my leadership and inspires the leaders that I'm surrounded by. And so it was a really cool opportunity, because for the first time, that conference had students speaking, and that changed the atmosphere of the room. But also, we got to, after our presentation, we got to meet the Secretary of Education and do different things of that sort. So seeing not only the school side, but seeing the policy side has been really pivotal in understanding feedback and growing.
Awesome. So what legacy do you hope to leave behind in your roles with NACS, PACS, and Work to Be Well?
Yeah, I want to create an atmosphere where students are able to join together and continue to connect through the joy of advocating for our futures. Because as I mentioned earlier, we're the future, but we're also the right now. And so really keeping that at the forefront of your mind and saying, I want to wake up and make an impact. And I think allowing other students to be able to grow in that role themselves. So mentorship is so huge, and I really hope that when I'm done with these organizations, there are students that come up as well and just keep fostering this sense of growth, because it's not something that's just going to flip on one day. It is something that's continually happening and shaping. And so being able to mold who we want our generation to become and who we are is just a quite life-changing experience. So really honoring that is what I hope that my legacy is.
How do you think social media impacts mental health? And what strategies do you use to maintain a healthy balance?
This is a great question. So in our culture, social media is something that we see everywhere all the time. And so making sure that we have a healthy relationship with our online presence is very crucial. One of the organizations I'm involved with is called #ICanHelpXDigitalForGood. And their whole goal is to inspire students to be digital first responders and remove and delete negativity online through different trainings, making sure that cyberbullying is kept very minimally so students know what to do when crises online occur, how to report, how to block, how to do things of that sort, but also making sure that we personally are not dependent on our social media, but using it as a tool for good. And I've seen that time and time again. There's so many connections that I have with students from all over because of social media, and it truly is a gift. But also we have to realize that there is so much power behind clicks of buttons. And so really seeing social media as an honor and something that we get to use to do good is very pivotal. So I think a really great thing, one thing I do is I even downloaded an app on my phone that has me take a deep breath before I open apps like TikTok or Instagram. And a lot of times I realize that I'm just anxiously clicking on those apps and I don't really feel like scrolling. And so having that moment of reflection before I open them has been so helpful for my personal mental health. And I've had a lot of friends try it too, and they can agree. So I think remembering that we have such an influence with having the world at our fingertips, that we need to use it to create global unity and to use it to inspire our advocacy efforts and our community togetherness, but also see that there are times when we get overly reliant on these platforms. So I think making sure that we have resources to train students in being able to use these things positively is so necessary. So you can definitely learn more on the website of the organization that I mentioned earlier, ICanHelp.net. They have a ton of great resources for educators, students, and parents to make sure teens and youth are safe online.
Thank you so much for your insight. And lastly, if anyone wants to contact you for advice on leadership, where can they reach you?
Yeah, feel free to either connect with me on LinkedIn or follow my Instagram. So my Instagram is Anjali Nicole, ANJALI.NIKOL. And my LinkedIn is Anjali Nicole Verma, so VERMA. Or feel free to email me. My email is Anjali.Nicole.Verma, ANJALI.NIKOL.VERMA@gmail.com. I'd love to help any of you in various leadership journeys. It's genuinely the joy of my life to connect with you guys. So get involved and keep doing what you're doing because it's really inspiring for me and all these leaders that I'm surrounded by.
Thank you so much, Anjali, for sharing your experiences and insights with us tonight. It's been inspiring to hear about your journey and the impact you're making in the community. We look forward to seeing all the incredible things you'll continue to achieve. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in to Teen Connect on WDIY 88.1. Stay informed, stay empowered, and remember that your actions can indeed make an impact. Until next time, I'm Yashvi Javia. Have a great day.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to wdiy.org or the WDIY app to share or become a WDIY member.